next stop, the Super Bowl. Hell yeah, you know we on. We built to do this all night long. Who that say they gon' beat them Saints? They a lie. They can try, but in the dome we know they ain't.
Who dat, and welcome back to Canal Street Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Ertl. Let me get a better one. Who dat? Welcome back to the Canal Street Chronicles podcast. I'm alongside my co-host Nate and Chris. How was your victory Monday, guys? Positive?
Nate,
good?
Nate, give them something positive. I don't have anything.
Oh, yeah. I didn't actually – it was hard to take something positive from that win, man. I don't know. I didn't see a whole lot, you know, other than everything we saw in that week. There was what – we were talking a little bit ago. Like, there was one thing maybe, you know, in that game that you could critique a little bit. And, you know, it's some of those little teensy-weensy fouls that you get. But compared to a normal Saints game – the penalties were even good. Like, it's just something that we're not used to seeing dominance at that aspect, even with how good this team's been. That was arguably one of the most impressive complete performances I've seen in my life as a Saints fan, I would say.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the win the Saints needed. This is the win the city needed, just in general. And there's something about the New Orleans Saints and playing right after a hurricane. They are incredibly talented. That no one's going to beat them because – they're playing for their city, and I'm super glad that all those great Packer fans got to make the trip to Jacksonville, and they can have the long flight back all the way to Wisconsin.
1,800 miles to be exact.
Yeah, yeah, and not a short flight either, and it was a really, really good game for them to go to, and I'm sure if you're on Twitter, you saw all the receipts that all these Packer fans, ooh, all the Packers media were saying about this game, and the Saints absolutely destroy from start to finish the Packers, 38-3. Let's just jump right into it and talk about the offense. I mean, the offense was extremely productive, efficient, good on every single level, dominated the line of scrimmage. Jameis Winston was incredible, had the most touchdowns with the least amount of yards in history, 5 touchdowns with 148. I mean, this whole offense was just incredible.
I mean, look, man, I think that, you know, for me, I would have assumed that if the Saints were going to win this game, 38 points, I mean, that would have been great, right? But I envisioned more of a, like, 27-24, you know, I mean, 30-27. Like, I thought it was – everyone, we all thought it was going to be a close game, right? And if any team had a better chance of blowing out the other, it would come from the Packers side. But offensively, man – you know, you're just reminded of how special Sean Payton is and what he can do with talents, even if they only specialize in one area. I mean, he's one of the better guys, one of the best guys in the league when it comes to, and maybe in the history of the league, when it comes to knowing what a player can do and putting him in a situation where all will just do that. Okay. You know, Deontay Harris, you're good in space. Do that. Okay. Bubble screens, we want you to do that. Reverses, you know, we'll get you on these deep play action passes, double moves. Like, we want you doing that. Okay. You know, Juwan Johnson, you're good. You jump really high and you have great hands. Do that in the end zone repeatedly. That's what we want you to do. And you know, the list goes on and on. You know, Tony Jones Jr. being able to run the football, you know, and I'm surprised, man. I listened to a lot of the questions that were asked, and I didn't really hear too many about Tony Jones. And I think here's a good time to give him some credit, man. For him to be able to spell Alvin Kamara in a game in which I think the Saints ran the ball like 39 times, and some of that is you wanting to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. Another part of that is to ease Jameis in. Being able, you know, letting him, being able to take advantage of all different parts of the field and taking advantage of the fact that you feel you have one of the best offensive lines in football, even if one piece is missing. A real complete performance, you know, Jameis didn't make any bad throws. I think the only throw that he made that would have resulted in an interception. I mean, even that one touched Juwan Johnson's hands, right? It could have been caught. They ran the football. Kamara looked explosive, as explosive and fast as I've seen him look. I think in some time. I mean, sometimes it just looked like he's running in real time faster than what he looks like on the screen. Yesterday he looked fast, right? Callaway made plays. Harris made plays. Juwan made multiple plays. And Taysom got in the game. They found a way to attack Green Bay in multiple levels. And it was really impressive. Really, really great game management. They took what was there. They went for it when they had to. All credit goes to that coaching staff and, you know, those players on that offense.
It feels really good to finally see a game where I feel like usually as Saints fans, we are very down to the specific details. And that speaks to a lot of love for the team, speaks to a lot of love and knowledge about the game. A little self-flattery. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, Saints fans as a whole, I feel like, are some of the most well-educated on the rules of the game because, well, if you're talking about cap space, the Saints, you have to understand cap space to be a Saints fan, or you just have to completely ignore it. But if you're talking about rules, usually they come up against the Saints, it seems like, for whatever reason. You can blame it on whatever you want. But it seems rare that we find a game where it's hard to nitpick something. You know, throughout the entirety of my life as a Saints fan, you know, it's been, well, we played good, but this play almost cost us the game against a team that we should have blown out. This game was one where I'll admit, you know, I can't track back because I know this is on the internet somewhere. I'd give us not a 0% chance of winning, but I have this Packers team being one of the best teams in the NFC. You know, that still could very well be true. Obviously, week one is a bad indicator for a lot of different things, but they sure didn't look like it against the Saints. And, you know, I think that speaks more to the Saints than the Packers. And I don't think the Saints will ever get the credit that they deserve for that. But when you have everybody on both sides of the ball, from Jameis to flipping sides to Marcus Williams to flipping sides again to Juwan Johnson, both offensive and defensive lines, and most importantly, you saw two players plus or minus, you know, go down with injuries or go out for at least a short time with injuries. They didn't seem to miss a beat, you know, and they kept the foot on the gas pedal the whole game, which I think was very, very nice to see. And, you know, when the community, like Brendan said, when this community needs the Saints seem to provide. So if you take any bright spots out of it, that is that week was a bright spot, I think, for so many reasons on so many levels that, you know, fans of other teams may not ever be able to truly understand.
Yeah, if you kept – oh, go ahead.
No, I didn't have anything. Go ahead, Brendan.
What I was going to say was, if you kept up with the media today, it was – the headline was, what happened to the Packers? What happened to the Packers? What's wrong with Aaron Rodgers? It should have been, we were wrong about the Saints. I mean, shout out to Sean Payton. If he's going to win Coach of the Year any time of his career, it's going to be this year, just because the roster he has and the talent isn't – It's still there. It's still very good, but it's not the roster they had last year. And they come out and do this to the reigning NFC finalists. I mean, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And like Jameis said, they had a game plan. They're prepared. They got the Saints outcoached them. They outplayed them. And like, there's a picture going around the internet with the Packers defense hands on their hips. I mean, they were more conditioned than them as well. They beat them in every single phase of the game. And like Nate said, there is maybe one or two plays where we could say, okay, that wasn't a great play. And it was either Aaron Rodgers making a great play or just hats off to the defense for making a good play. It was literally a start to finish domination, offense, defense, and even special teams. Blake Gillikin and Ty Montgomery on that punt, that was phenomenal. But I think the main thing about this game was, Jameis was incredible, had an insane debut, but the offensive line was great. And when you lose your center, Eric McCoy, and you have to start shuffling your offensive line, that made me nervous. And they didn't skip a beat. I mean, they're almost better. They almost had to work harder. Cesar Ruiz slipped, went to center, and Calvin Throckmorton, UDFA, came in at guard, and they were great. I mean, Cesar stepped in and there was no mistakes. They were rushing the ball all over him. They rushed for 171 yards, which doesn't seem like a ton of yards, but it, I mean, if you watch the game, it really was, because this, the Saints always had a short field. Packers weren't getting anywhere. They weren't getting anywhere. And I saw some stat, and it was the amount of touchdowns Jameis threw in Tampa. You think about it, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, all these high first-round picks and high draft picks. This game, he threw four touchdowns to four UDFAs, two to Juwan Johnson, one to Deontay Harris, and let's see, one to Chris Hogan as
Chris
well.
Hogan,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So he's making do with what he had, like Drew Brees used to do. And Jameis looked great. He looked like a totally different quarterback. And I think that's hats off to Sean Payton as well for getting this team prepared. And I really think that the Saints should get some more respect from here on out, just because they didn't just beat them 20-0. They beat them 38-3. And it could have been a lot worse. It could have been. I mean, let's see. Jameis was 14 for 20. He had three passes that he threw away, which were good. He had one or two that maybe weren't great balls. One of Juwan Johnson that was picked, and one of Alvin Kamara in that third and short that Chris posted, that if it wasn't for Alvin Kamara being the freak athlete he was, they would have been short. So I know Jameis is going to see that in film and just want to get better. And they have the Carolina Panthers next week, who aren't particularly strong on defense. And I mean, you look at this Packers defense. This isn't a bad defense either. This is a championship quality Packers defense, and Jameis tore him apart. And I think that's hats off to the coaching.
You know, what's interesting is that, I mean, and you're 100% right about that Packers team. You know, Darnell Savage, you have, you know, Jair Alexander, you have Za'Darius Smith. I mean, you have Kenny Clark. You have playmakers all over that team that are supposed to show up. And look, I mean, if you're going to make excuses for the Packers, and you say, okay, they didn't come prepared, and that's what we heard, but they didn't come prepared, or Aaron Rodgers was, you know, he wasn't himself. He made throws that are uncharacteristic. Okay, that's fair. What about what's missing on New Orleans? And even if you felt that Green Bay had a bad day, in what world was it bad enough for them to lose 38-3? No one, if there was anyone that would have predicted coming into Sunday that Green Bay could be rusty or could have a rough day, you wouldn't say 38-3 against a team that's missing Michael Thomas, against a team that's, Paulson Adebo played well, right? But you have a rookie cornerback on the outside. Your other cornerback's fighting a hamstring injury and ends up doing something to his thumb later on in the game. Their starting defensive tackle is suspended. They lose their center, who, you know, will probably make multiple All Pro appearances. They don't have Michael Thomas. They're just Jameis Winston. It's his first start since 2019. And you go on and on. Tre'Quan Smith, who is another target that people are familiar with, he's hurt. You can go on and on about this team and what they had to overcome on their side as well, and they dominated the game. No excuses. If they would have lost the game, it wouldn't have been any excuses. Alvin Kamara said it best. Like, no one gives a shit. Like, at the end of the day, like, no one cares. Like, they're displaced. They were in Jacksonville playing a home game. Well, it was more Packers fans than Saints game. I mean, than Saints fans. It was more of a home game, a home environment. Like, I literally, and I shit you not, I literally, when I turned on the game and I saw those green uniforms and I saw the Saints in white and gold, I forgot the game was in Jacksonville. Part of me for a second thought it was in Green Bay, because that's normally the color combination that exists, right? The fields can look similar if you can't see sidelines in certain colors. I forgot that the game was in Jacksonville and the Saints won 38-3. You have to give them credit there. No one wants to hear about Green Bay's excuses at all.
No, I'm in the same boat with you, Chris. I think it is just the most ridiculous string of media nonsense I've heard. And, you know, as someone who, unfortunately, for some reasons, has been around sports media, and especially the NFL, like, media circle for so long, these people are moving on so quickly from the fact that all summer long,
their stories nationally were, look at the Saints, look at their horrible cap situation they'll never get out of. Oh, look, they don't have a quarterback. Ian Book's going to start a quarterback because we don't like Jameis or Taysom. And all these super ridiculous, honestly, loads of crap that they were feeding us all summer in order to obviously get their clicks up. Probably worked. We're passionate fan base. What can we say? And then they just move on from it and say, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers had a bad day. Maybe the coach of Green Bay is bad. You know, LaFleur, like, what's he doing up there? And, oh, they had to travel so far. It was such a hard trip to Jacksonville, Florida, a retirement community. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of the excuses. And, you know, any true Packers fan that follows this team, that watches this team. I was on a Packers podcast that my buddy Jake runs before this all went down. We both said it would probably be a close game. We both think Packers will win. True Packers fans like him will not give you the media excuses that we're hearing right now, especially on the Twitterverse. You know, there are some people that will never accept that the Packers are not, you know, are underperforming or whatever. But it's just real Packers fans know it. Saints fans know it. This was an incredibly played game, an incredibly coached game. The script ran to perfection. We know Sean and his scripted drives, his scripted plays. And I also, seriously, I thought about this earlier. It is time to start considering the New Orleans Saints as the best talent evaluators for the offensive line in the NFL.
Best talent evaluators at any position.
Yeah, right.
And they're finding dimes of the rough all over.
Yep.
So let's talk about this defense, which is something that is – even more surprising in the offense, just because the magnitude of the Packers offense and how good it is. And I don't want to say the Packers completely dropped the bag. It's not like they just came out and just sucked. It was more so because the Saints defense is so, so good. It really is. And I don't think people are getting enough respect for that defense in general. I mean, I sent out a tweet a couple weeks ago and said, this defense is top five. And I got some feedback on it. And after this game, I'll say top three. I mean, this is the worst loss Aaron Rodgers has ever had. And it's not going to be close for the rest of his career, probably. He didn't convert a third down, which is he has never done. He's always converted a third down. He got held to 3 points, which it was that long pass to Devontae Adams, which was like a great pass, hands off to him, whatever. And this is his largest defeat ever, 35 points. So this all around was just a beating by him. And you can say whatever jokes you want to say, but that Saints defense was the reason that he didn't have a good day, honestly. There was pressure in his face from the first snap all the way to the last snap. You can say what you want about them missing David Bakhtiari, starting two rookie rookie guard. It's not our problem they started two rookie guards. They were the best people in the building for them. And if they want to go to the NFC Championship again, figure it out. I mean, it's not our problem. We have defensive tackles who – we're working at freaking Home Depot a couple weeks ago. So it doesn't even matter, honestly. And this defense is only going to get better. I mean, obviously, Marshawn has an injury. We'll talk about that in a bit. Marcus is banged up. They're getting Bradley Roby in here. They will get David Onyemata eventually. And, of course, Michael Thomas and so on and so forth. They were missing a ton more than the Packers were. And this was just an all-around beating on defense. I mean, you could see on Aaron Rodgers' face on TV. He just looked defeated. He couldn't get anything. Even his favorite target, Devontae, Marshawn locked him up with a half a hand. And there was a play where I was like, dang, Marshawn should have picked that off. It's like, he's got half a hand. I mean, it's just, it was all around beating. And Adebo, I mean, I think Paulson Adebo should get a game ball just because how much pressure he was put in. Just because to start your first game, a third round pick, your first game in the NFL against the NFL MVP. And you're put out for a couple drives with arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL, Devontae Adams. And I want to say he allowed one catch for a few yards against him. And obviously had that pick for 33 yards and he just held his own. They did great. Desmond Trufant came in, played good enough. I mean, they're deeper than a lot of people think on the defensive side.
Also, what a great way to present yourself as a future trade destination for Aaron. No, we got Jameis now, but the joke has to be made. It still has to be
defensively, man, I, you know, So two things here. The first thing is I talked to a Packers writer last week in this question setup that I do. And John Meerling. And we talked, I asked him, I said, well, with the Packers start, because to me, I felt if the Saints were going to win the game, they were going to have to dominate the line of scrimmage. And they were going to have to do it defensively on both sides. But defensively, they were going to have to be able to win with their front four. You're not going to be able, at least from my perspective, you weren't going to be able to send heavy blitzes, to send 5-6 men. You weren't going to be able to disguise a bunch of coverages to confuse Aaron. You were going to have to win with your front four and let your back end be able to be, successful, whether you were in a base look or, you were in sub packages. That was the way. Running the football and throwing the football. And I asked him if, he thought that would be an issue with them starting two rookies and them having their all-pro out. And he didn't think so. So, I mean, I took his word for it. I believe because, they've had games. They had games last year where they had to go through the same thing. And then, the offense didn't miss a beat. They found a way to make it work. And that's exactly it. The complete opposite happened. The Saints dominated them from the opening snap. Marcus Davenport gets a tackle for a loss. And, it makes you think, man, they have an elite, at least one elite player at every part of their defense. Defensive line, you have Cam. Linebacker, you have DeMario. Cornerback, you have Marshawn. And safety, you have Marcus Williams. There's not many defenses that can say that. And then outside of those elite players, they have really good secondary players next to them. They just added Bradley Roby. You have Malcolm Jenkins at safety. You have Chauncey Garner Johnson, who plays in a slot, but also can play some deep safety. You're gonna continue to hear about some of the other the other linebackers, the young guys that are playing. But you have Quan Alexander, David Onyemata is gonna be back, Marcus Davenport, and we don't know what Peyton Turner is gonna look like. Carl Granderson can get after the passer. You can go on and on. We talked about the worry was depth, and they have it. They have it on top of having elite talented players already, which gives offenses hell when they're healthy. Look, while Marshawn did a really good job on Devontae, they locked up everybody else. Last year, Andy Lazar he kicked our ass multiple times. Scantling hit us on a couple deep plays. Robert Tonyan Jr. was a star in that game on bootleg after bootleg after bootleg. Saints could do nothing about it. So not only, it was fun to stop Devontae, but it was fun to also make sure that the other guys, and some of them that killed them last year, weren't able to do that this year. We talked about why, I hear, well, Aaron didn't look like Aaron, and he had a bad game. He had nobody to throw the ball to. They played two men under the whole game. Malcolm and Marcus, they stayed in their deep zones. They didn't let anything behind them, and they dared guys underneath to get open, and nobody did for Green Bay the entire game. And that's a testament to a team, to a Saints defense that isn't even completely healthy. What happens when Bradley Roby joins that defense and Marshawn has a full hand?
Top three.
What happens? Where do you go? Seriously. If they're healthy, where the hell are you throwing the football? And that front four is able to get after you. You have DeMario there at linebacker, and you have Quan next to him, and Zach Bond and Ellis and man, look. I'm very excited about their performance, but this game is scary to me because they could only get better, and they held held the MVP. I don't give a damn if he left Jeopardy Saturday night. I don't care. They held the MVP of last season to 3 points. What happens when they get a team in New Orleans? When those fans are waiting or relishing the opportunity to go crazy in the dome and that defense is healthy? Man, it is going to be nuts.
Mm-hmm. Just thinking about how loud it's going to be in the dome, the first play, or the first fourth down going for it. Like that, anybody who's been there, anybody who's watched it on TV, anybody who's, you know, objectively seen it, knows that that emotion level is going to be almost like I'm sitting on my couch tearing up, because you can feel how much it means, like, to the team, to the city, to everybody involved, to us. It's going to be crazy. And to complement that with, you know, coming back home with, they could lose until we get home, you know, they could lose before we get home, you know, we always have to tamper our expectations because you know how that goes. But even if they did, it's still going to mean that much, and we still have this game to look back on as, wow, this defense, this offense, even, you know, with throwing to just undrafted free, throwing to a former lacrosse player who left professional lacrosse less than half a year ago. It's just ridiculous, the levels that this team is going for, and it's just something that you have to really tip your hat to everyone at the organization. You know, everybody said Drew Brees is gone after last year. That was our chance. That was our big chance. I was guilty of that. We were sad. It's normal. It happened. But this team's built for the future. I mean, when you have guys on your bench that would easily start at over three quarters of the other NFL teams, you fielded something great for years, you know, and you have to trust them to be able to continue that. It's insane. And if you're going to stop a team like Tampa Bay, Kansas City, even the Rams at this point, they looked really good as far as, you know, for the first game under a new quarterback and a new scheme and everything. Those teams with offensive firepower, you need that depth. And like Chris said, if the Saints are healthy, arguably probably the deepest defense to stop those offenses, especially, and I'm super high on the cornerback position now, which as a Saints fan almost feels like slander to say, just because it feels so strange. But even one of my like first play memories from this game that comes up is Desmond Trufant coming down and laying a big hit, stopping on a third down. Desmond Trufant very likely is the fourth or fifth corner, you know, in this rotation. It's crazy.
The Bears said, we're not sure that you're good enough to make this team. The Bears said that.
It's just insane.
I don't know who's playing cornerback for the Bears right now.
No. It seemed like nobody.
Well,
I don't know.
That's the difference between the Saints and a team like the Bears. They're just out-coaching everyone. And I think I'll say that what Chris said, last thing I'll say about the defense, is the reason Rodgers had nowhere to throw, the reason the Saints could run two-man under almost every single down, was because the rest of the defense was doing their job. I know every single Saints fan remembers last game with the play action bootlegs of Robert Tonyan. The Saints couldn't stop that, not once. It would go for 10 plus yards every single time. Go back, rewatch that game, and watch how many times they ran that play, and watch how many times Zach Bond was right there with Robert Tonyan every single time. And that goes out to the coaching. I mean, Zach Bond's been great. They shut him down. Now, rushing the football, they didn't even try to. Aaron Jones killed us last year. 5 carries, 9 yards. What are you going to do? You can't do anything. If you can't run the football and the Saints never going to go out and throw it 35 times, you're screwed. And, I mean, it was pure domination. And, look, it took us 1 week to say the Saints are among the best in the NFC once again. It literally once again. And they're only going to get better from here on out. Obviously, we got Monday Night Football tonight. But let's talk about some post-game notes about just a little bit about the future. And looking forward, now that they've won this game against Green Bay, it almost seems like the next time they're in the Dome week 4, it'd almost be a disappointment if they weren't 3-0. I mean, obviously, we're going to Carolina to play the Panthers, and then we go play New England, who has been a little rough so far. So is it a big expectation for this team to go into week 4 playing the New York Jets or New York Giants to maybe be 4-0. I mean, that's something that before the season we didn't really think was possible. And now we could realistically be in a 4-0 position and be contending for the NFC title once again. I mean, honestly, it's like, is that too high of an expectation to say we should be 4-0 after week 4?
Well, look, I mean, I think a lot of it depends on just how badly you are banged up. Like, if you don't have Marcus Davenport and you're missing Marshawn Lattimore, Bradley Roby's first game, he has to see DJ Moore, who has transformed into an immaculate receiver. I mean, some spectacular catches last week against the Jets. We know what they can do with Christian McCaffrey, who even against elite defenses is going to find a way to get his, whether it's running the football or whether it's out of the backfield catching it. Sam Darnold is talented enough to be able to put the ball, to put the football in the right places, even if, you know, he can be turnover prone at times. I think that the part of that does matter. I mean, going on the road to Carolina is not going to be easy. I mean, it's a divisional game, and it's, you know, these type of games against the Panthers can be ugly sometimes early in the mm-hmm. season, man. I mean, we've seen so many over the past year that have ended, you know, 17-14 and 20. It's just been dogfights. So, but I do think that, you know, one thing New Orleans has working in their favor is that I do have some questions about Carolina's secondary. You know, they're starting a rookie out there in J.C. Horn, but they also have some talented pieces out there. But, you know, I mean, you feel much better knowing Luke Kuechly isn't out there, right? You know, I mean, you take your chances. I mean, I know Jonathan Chin can play. We know Brian Burns can play. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, listen, if Daniel Jones is walking, if you get to see any part of Daniel Jones, I don't care who's on the field from the ball, they should kick the Giants' ass. There's no way, you know, there's no way around that. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm with you. I don't know if 4-0 is the expectation necessarily or even 3-0. If I'm 2-1, I'm satisfied, you know, considering I thought this game was going to be a loss. You know, maybe they come off of an emotional high and they lay it in against the Panthers. I'm not sure. But you stole one, as far as I'm concerned, in a dominant fashion against the Packers. If they come out and they repeat that would be spectacular on the road, in another road game, right, against the Panthers. And then, you know, and then week three is the Giants at home.
It's the Patriots, right?
Yeah, they travel to New England week three, and then week four is in the Dome, yeah, New York, is. October.
Yeah, I mean, I expect them. I mean, those are two. Those are back to back. At least with New England, they're really good defensively. Mm-hmm. Carolina had number one preseason defense, or you know, whatever you want to give them there. Physically, you know, you're gonna have to be right. I would hope that a guy like Aaron McCoy comes back. I would hope that you don't lose Marcus Davenport for too long, because I expect both those games upcoming to be, you know, hard fought matchups. But man, even if it's 2-1 or if you're 3-1, you know, you take that any day.
Yeah, 2-1 being in TCU, not sleeping in your own bed, basically back to back to back away games because it's in Jacksonville. I mean, like, 2-1 with those circumstances. No one else in the NFL is dealing with that right now. No one else is sleeping in a hotel every night, dealing with their family being in the hotel, keeping them up all night kind of thing. So this is just crazy circumstances. And 2-1, I think, is good. If you can be 3-1 in September, that's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, for the amount of things that had to go correct just for this game to happen.
Right.
Just add into everything that's going on. We are still living in the middle of COVID-19 and that whole really, like, to travel as a whole team, no matter if you have a personal team plan or not, we all know we do, it is still incredibly difficult. You know, just to keep everyone, even vaccinated, we're seeing currently, we'll talk about that in a little bit, I'm sure, but we're seeing the possibility for breakthroughs, stuff like that. It's tough to get a game at home to work flawlessly, much less a game across the Gulf in, well, not really, but you get the point, in Jacksonville, Florida. It was just insane. And, you know, you're coming up against Carolina team, a lot of strength in that, a lot of weakness. If you're healthy, I think depth should win out if Jameis has even a decent game. And correct. Week three, I think the same way. You know, of course, you know, the Patriots are going to be well coached. They're going to be really well, you know, disciplined in terms of playing style. Sean Payton versus Bill Belichick is always a very, very fun matchup, especially if credit to Mac Jones, week one. I know it was against the Dolphins, not exactly the prima donna of defenses, but and only put up 17 points still, but he almost threw for 300 yards. So it,
very solid secondary.
Yeah, and like you said, they're good on defense, so it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, so going into some post-game notes, we got a few. Nick, we'll start with the COVID news going around the building. Nick Gunnhill is reporting that the Saints are down a few potential coaches due to coronavirus, and he says the team is in intensive protocols right now, and he does add there's no coordinators or, like, any, like, very important coaches that is dealing with this right now. And he says Sean Payton and the staff have said all the staff is vaccinated, so don't really know what's going on in terms of that situation. But it's never good to have more COVID problems with that. So hopefully that doesn't really affect them this week in terms of preparation and whatnot. We'll see on Tuesday what's going on there. Going to Marshawn Lattimore, obviously all those cap junkies, Marshawn signs a ginormous extension, can be worth up to $100 million. It's the most guaranteed money ever for a cornerback. And that happened before the game. And at halftime, he obviously had that thumb injury that will require maybe surgery. He's expected to get evaluated soon. And Ian Rapoport said he's week to week and he could miss a couple weeks. But I don't think anyone really knows at this point how that'll do. I mean, of course, Ronnie Lott, when he broke his pinky, he just cut it off. So I don't think Marshawn's going to do that. But never good to see that. We'll see. We'll get more information on Tuesday about that. And Marcus Davenport suffered a pec injury. It sounded pretty bad at first, but it came back on the MRI as just a strain, which is very positive. Ian Rapoport said he'll miss some time, but should be back sooner rather than later. What that means, I don't know if that's maybe an IR move, put him on IR for 3 weeks. Maybe. I'm not sure there. But it's just positive that it wasn't a tear, because that probably would have been the season for him, and just the impact he made first week. We want to have him there, and hopefully that could mean a potential Peyton Turner debut coming up. And obviously Eric McCoy left the game early. There's no news yet on his injury, which is, I'll take it as a good thing, because he was live tweeting the game. And if you suffer a season ending injury, I don't think you'd be live tweeting the game and being super excited. So hopefully he just got a little banged up and the Saints are like, okay, well, we're destroying this game and we don't need you in there. We don't need to make it worse. And last bit of news, Saints tried out a group of wide receivers. Tons of Saints fans are going to be happy about this. They tried out Kenny Stills, the OG. Chris, you're not the OG anymore. And Marquise Lee and a few other guys. So just doing their homework and maybe adding another wide receiver to their room with Tre'Quan Smith being on IR. I know lots of Saints fans would love to see Kenny Stills back on this team, but lots of stuff there.
You know, similar to, you know, there's two guys that I want to see. Well, three guys I would like to see just back in New Orleans, just for my heart to feel full. And that's Mark Ingram, Kenny Stills being one of them, and Akeem Hicks. Those are just three guys that I always felt a little weird how they ended up leaving the team. And I think that they all have enough juice in one form or another left to contribute. Shout out to Mark having a really good game and in a Houston win yesterday. But yeah, man. I mean, I think that's very interesting. I would assume that if you're looking at one of those guys, Kenny would probably be the better fit, mainly because of him being familiar with the offense already. Kenny being more of an outside threat. They move Marquez Callaway all around the field. He can play slot. He can play outside. But I think what you lose in Tre'Quan, if you can add another outside receiver, that would definitely be helpful. It could be useful for them. I mean, look, when it comes to injuries with the team, it could cost them a game, you know, in regards to them losing a game. It may not. But I've conditioned myself to worry less and less about who's not playing for this team, because one way or another, they've missed almost every key player over the past, 2-3 years has missed a game And they have found a way to win the game afterwards against a good football team or a bad football team. You name them. Well, it could be Kamara, it could be Drew, it could be Mike, it could be Marshawn, it could be, I mean, the only person that I don't think, the only two people that haven't missed a game in recent memory that I can think of were, DeMario and Cam? But almost everybody else, Marcus Williams missed a game or two. Everybody, Armstead, they've all missed games. And this coaching staff finds a way to game plan what they have. And whether it's an ugly game plan, it's not a popular style, whether run heavy, you know, they switch it up, they play to their hand, you know, they're playing chess. So I guess it's better to have these type of injuries that don't seem to be long term. You rather have them now than later. It's also very good that you're gonna have a very good and talented cornerback coming to play for you and Bradley Roby to help you, you know, the next few weeks. If Marshawn has to miss two or three weeks, they're deep at defensive end to hopefully hold off Davenport. So I hope that isn't a long injury. You got a rookie quarterback in week three, and you got a so-so offensive line. Some question marks with how good Sam Darnold is going to be in there in Carolina. So I don't know if they will or they won't end up being harmed by this, but I mean, you're playing with house money at this point, and you've proved you can make the best out of these bad situations. And I mean, hell, you've had to deal with worse crisis when it comes to roster, or when it comes to key players being hurt. So, you know, I'd rather this happen now than week 17 or 18.
And this Saints roster, I think it's pretty easy to see, is better than, as even if it were injured, you know, injured as we are, it's better than most of the Saints rosters we've seen throughout the history of the franchise. So it's good to be able to say that.
Yeah, well, regardless or not, it's Victory Monday. Enjoy the week. Go to work tomorrow. Give your coworkers some crap. You're undefeated. We'll be coming at you guys later this week, previewing the Panthers game this week. But your Saints are 1-0. We're happy. You're happy. Go live it up, and we'll see you guys later this week.
Who that?
Hey.
Who that?
Who that?
Who that?
Who that?
Who that?
Let's go. We on the road. The next stop. The Super Bowl. Hell yeah. You know we on. We built to do this all night long. Who that? Who that? Say they gon' beat them Saints. They a lie. They can try, but in the dome we know they ain't.